Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Thursday Night Cheer. I'll begin with a brief introduction. You'll all remember that about a month ago, when the United States Senate was holding its second attempt to impeach President Trump, I guess by then he was already former President Trump. So one of his lawyers was an Orthodox Jew, a gentleman by the name of David Schoen. I don't know, I never heard of previously. But he made a big... a big statement that was all over the, I guess, the Twitter and the Facebook world, because when he took a drink of water during the, at some points during the trial, so he put his hand on his head as he tilted his head back to take a drink of water. And a lot of people who had no idea what he was doing made fun of him, and again, on Twitter and other social media outlets. And, you know, he has to hold his head on, what do Republicans do? You know, all the anti, anti-Trump stuff. And then someone explained, no, it's because he's an Orthodox Jew and ordinarily would have to wear a yarmulke, and it doesn't make a blessing without something on his head. And since, you know, it's the United States Senate and so on, so he put his hand on his head instead. Others had different theories. Others said he really had a bottle cap underneath there. That's what he was holding. Someone else said it wasn't either thing. He was just used to having his yarmulke on. So you tilt your head back and a yarmulke falls off. So he was holding his yarmulke on, whatever he was doing. So it became a whole cause celebre. And then among Orthodox Jews, there was a whole discussion. Would that work if you have to make a bracha and you don't have a yarmulke, or it's not considered polite company, whatever it is, to put on a yarmulke at that point? Is there any value in putting your hand on your head? Does that do anything? So I thought I'd use the opportunity to speak about wearing a yarmulke, wearing a head covering in general, when making a bracha, when davening, and then eventually discussing that subject towards the end. But we begin in the second of the two seders. This Shabbos we read two seders, Vayakon Pekudah. We finish up Chumash Mos. And so we read there in Parshas Pekudei about the fulfillment of the Pesukim in Parshas Tetzaveh that had to do with the fashioning of the Big Day Kahuna, the different garments worn by Aaron and by his sons. So in Perek Lamed Tes of Shmos, Pasuk of Zion, by Asnus Akosno Sheish, they made the tunics out of linen and so on. And Pasuk of Ches, Ves HaMitznefes Sheish, Mitznefes means a hat. Okay, that was also made out of linen. Ves Pare HaMigbaos Sheish. Also a type of a hat, also made out of linen. The word pare, Rashi explains in source 2, pare amibos, tiferes, right? It's for beauty. It was, for dignity. It was for to be attractive. Hamigbaos, hamafu aros, the beautiful or impressive looking hats. You look back in Parshas Tetzav, I printed some of the psukim in source 3, Shmos Perkhov Ches, when the Big Day Kahuna are introduced. It says, V'asu Big Day Perkhov Ches, Shmos Pasuk Beis, V'asu Big Day Kodesh L'Aaron Achicha L'Chavod L'Sifaris. It's for honor and it's for glory. It's to look attractive, to look, like call it today, Shtari or Spitzi, to look dignified. And V'Ela HaBegodim Pasuk Dalet, among the Begodim listed for the Kohen Gadol, is a Mitznefes. Which is a type of hat. And later on in Parshat Tetzaveh, when giving out the specific commandment, the Torah says in that same parak, Kofchas, Pasuk Lamed Tes, and 3, Vishibatz Laksona Sheish, Losiso Mitznefes Sheish. That was for Aaron, the Kohen Gadol. And then in Pasuk Mem, Livnei Aaron Tasechutanos, also tunics, Vosizlam Avneitim Umigbaos. So it sounds like the mitznefes was the hat worn by Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, and the migba'as, or in the plural migba'os, were the hats worn by his sons, the regular Kohanim. Rashi explains there in Parshat Tetzaveh, Pasuk Chav Ches, Pasuk Dalet, mitznefes, kimin kippas kova, some type of a kippah, some type of a head covering, like a hat, shakarin kapa, karfa belaz, and so on. And he says, so hare mokum acher, korlehem migba'os. Rashi seems to understand that migbaos and migbaos in the singular mitznefes is more or less the same thing, the types of hats, different words for the same thing, different types of hats. Rashi repeats that idea in same parakof ches pasuk mem, source 4, divamasa v'livnei aron taser kutanos, arba begodim halal v'lois, so just these garments, and umigbaos he mitznefes. Rashi says there explicitly, the same thing. Okay, they were the same garment. The coins were called migbas. The coin was called mitznefes. Basically, the same thing. That's what it looks like from Rashi. The Rambam seems to agree in Hilchos Klei Hamikdash, Perek Ches Halacha Beis, Source 5. The Rambam writes, "Umitznefes hamura ba'aron, he hamigbas hamura bevanav." The mitznefes, that the hat which is identified as part of the begadim of Aaron, are the same thing as it's the same thing as the migbas worn by his sons. Ella, a slight difference. Your coin gadol son of ba kamisha lofei falashever. it's wrapped, you know, like a turban. You know, the Kohen Gadol is wrapped in a certain way. Ubanav Tzonfin Balkov, they just put it on like a regular hat. They don't wrap it. It's a little bit different of the way you put it on. But basically, it's the same kind of thing. And the Ravid over there in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, Parakas Al-Chabay, 5, the second part, disagrees. Omar Ram, Ani Omar, Ein Masseishol, Zekim Masseishol, that they didn't look exactly the same. Mitznefes, Oroch Harbe, the Mitznefes, the Kohen Gadol's hat was much longer, taller. Okay. Vekorech also krichos harbe, it was wound many times, again, like a turban. Okay, it was wound around many times. Kekrichos Ishmaelim, like the Arabs, whatever exactly it refers to. Avamasa hamigbos, kena kovin shalanu. But the migbos of the Kohen Gadol were flatter, like our hats. So the rabbit has a difference. Okay, the question of exactly what it looked like. You look in these picture books and so on, and there are different suggestions as to whether they were the same, they're not the same. And the Sefer HaChinuch, back in Parshat Tetzaveh, Mitzvah Tzadi Tez, Sect 6, talks about this, the idea of what the purpose of all these garments were, is to look attractive, right? The idea is, Mishar Shah Mitzvah, that people are influenced by what they see and what people look like and so on. So HaShliach HaMechapeh, the agent who's going to bring about atonement, has to look the part, right? Kain royally slabish begadim yuchadim eleh, to wear these special garments and so on, and so that people should see that this is something special. A little, another point about the mitznefes, the Gemara says in Zochim, Pei Ches, Mabei, Sor 7, mitznefes mechaperes al gase aruch. The Gemara there indicates that each of the big day kahuna comes to atone for a different type of avera, a different category of sin. And the mitznefes mechaperes al gase aruch. Gase means people who are haughty, conceited, you know, consider themselves high and mighty. Omer of Chanina Yovo Dover Shabagova Vichaper al Gova, right? Something which is worn on high, right? The hat is the highest of the garments. That which is worn on high is Mechaper for a sin of a person considering himself too high and too mighty. That's the couple. Marshall explains over there in the Chidush HaGodes of Zochim. Pechaz Mezin 8. Kikisi Harosh, Divamas Mitznefes. Kikisi Harosh, Mevel De Ema Deshmaya. When you cover your head, you have more reverence for God. You remember that something's above you, right? And he quotes the Gemara, which we'll see in a moment. That's the idea. Kisi harosh mevel de ema deshmaya. And the Gemara in Erchin says similarly, at Tezanim and Aleph 9, mitznefes mechaperes agas eruch, the b'chinin yavo dov shagov yichapa maise gavo. It's not just your attitude, but the person acts a certain way. But the key is, I think, as the Marsha says, kisi harosh mevel de ema deshmaya. Covering your head can bring you, it's not a guarantee, but it can bring you to having proper reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you remember that something is above you. And we find in a number of places in the Gemara the notion that people did have head coverings. In fact, look at Source 10, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Amud Beis, talks about the daily morning brachas. We say all the morning brachas together, the Brachas HaShachar, but each one of the brachas talks about something else. And originally, at one time, they used to say the bracha at the time they were doing that act, let's say, Malbish Arumim, God clothes the naked, so people would say that when they're getting dressed. So the Gemara says in Samach Amud Beis in 10, Kiporis Sudra Reishi, when somebody put a kerchief, you know, some type of covering on his head. Lema, the bracha baruch. Baruch means baruch atosh melechem lecholam. Oter Yisrael b'sifora. Right? That's one of our brichas ha-shachar. And that's what Gemara says has to do with when you put the covering on your head. And Rashi explains, whatever the, actually not Rashi, but Tosas, there in bracha samach on Beis 11, there are maskul kiparis. Uadi l'chol kova, l'chol kisui. Because that'll make a difference. This type of kerchief, that type of hat, some type of hat, sometimes a covering, you say as long as you know you derive pleasure from it and so on. That's what Tosa says. And then the Rambam paskins this way, Hilchos Tfila Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet. The Rambam writes in 12, Kishashome Kol HaTarnagolim, when you hear the chickens, roosters, you know, cock-a-doodle doing in the morning, which we don't hear around here too often. There used to be some guy who had a rooster here. Well, I thought that rooster was off schedule a little bit. But anyway, but when you hear the rooster making his noise and so on, so you say, Asher Nosan Sechavina. Then when you put your clothing on, you say, Mal Bisharum. And then the Rambam writes, the end of 12, Kishamaniach Sadino Arosha, when you put your garment, some type of clothing on your head, you say, Baruch HaShem, come on, Toi Yisrael B'Sifara. And the same thing appears in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Haim, Simon Mem Vav, Sif Aleph 13, Kishamesim Kovam, and Semet Arosh, Toi Yivarach, Toi Yisrael B'Sifara, the Mishabura. Comments of Cotton Tess, why is Yisrael here? You know, things, why don't you say, you know, like with the Baruch of Malbish Arumim, it doesn't, we don't say Malbish Arumei Yisrael or something. You know, why suddenly by this Baruch and also the bracha of the belt, Ozei Yisrael Begvura, Otei Yisrael Betzivah. Why Yisrael? So the Shapur says it's something that stands out, that has to do with Tznius, and it's our special relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on, that has to do with the hat. So therefore, we see from that Gemara that people did had wear head coverings, and they made a special bracha when you put it on, which is incorporated into the Birchas HaShachar.
You can't say Modeh Ani in the morning without a head covering, can you?
Hold that thought. Good question. Although Modeh doesn't have a Shem's name, technically speaking, you can. We'll get to that. We'll see about those kinds of things. Okay. There's another relevant Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, Rebbeis 15. The Gemara says, Amar of Hunabre, the Veshua, Tesili de los Sagina, Arba Amos, Begila Harosh. I don't even want to walk four Amos, four paces. Begila Harosh means uncovered head. I'm always going to have some on my head. I'm not going to walk anywhere. Begila Harosh, right, with the head uncovered. And then later in Shabbos, on Kuf Nun Vav Med Beis 16, the Gemara tells a story. The Emeder of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the mother of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who became one of the important Amoraim when he was little. So Amri La Kaldoi, the Kaldoi Rashi says in 17 there in Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav Med Beis, Kaldoi is Chozim B'Kochavim. You know, there's a stargazers, but not astronomers. I mean, it's people who, you know, like soothsayers or you know, horoscope people and so on. So certain person said to the wife of the mother, rather, of Nachman Yitzchak, the little boy, Brech Ganvahu, your son's going to grow up to be a thief. That was the prediction. That's what it said in the stars, you know. Okay, I won't go into now. We've spoken about that in another shiurim, how much value do you have to place in that, and, you know, is there anything to the type of stuff? The Rambam thinks it's all nonsense. Others think maybe it's not all nonsense, whatever, but she was spooked by this. So therefore, Lo Shavketei Gilui Reisha, she never let him go without an uncovered head. She always had made him wear a yarmulke or something on his head. Amrit Lake Si Reisha Ki Hechad Teiselech Emos Hadeshmaya. Make sure she raised her child. Always keep something in your head so you will have proper fear and reverence, proper Yirah Shamayim. Okay. And then Lo Haviyada Amai Kamen. He never knew when he was growing up. He never knew why his mother was so insistent about it. The Gemara says Yom Achad. One day. Yosef Kagar is two sedikla, one sitting under some kind of a palm tree. Okay. Nofal Glivam Elavi Reshe, he is a wind or whatever it is, his head covering fell off. So he was sitting bare, didn't realize he was sitting bareheaded. And Dale Ene Chazadik, he looked at that tree and he saw it was a date palm, it was a date. And his Alma Yitzre, his Yitzre got the better of him and he took a bunch of the dates. They weren't his. Rashi explains there in 17, Kiburo Eshkol Tomorrow, Madekalo Shalahoi, wasn't his tree. But as soon as the yarmulke came off, his inner whatever tendency to be a thief or whatever got the better of him and so on. Okay, so you see from that story also that keeping something in your head reminds you, that's how the Maharsho explains in Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav Med Beis in the Chiddush HaGadol in 18, Bishari and Shinami, this wasn't a Chiddush by the mother of Nachman by Yitzchak, right? We see the Gemara says in Kiddush, we saw a different Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Kiddush is on the next source, 19, Lamed Aleph Med Aleph in Kiddush. Amar Yishuv and Levi, Osul Adam Shehalech Arba Amos becomes a Kufa. Get back to that. Rav Huna Brei Yishuv Lo Maski Arba Amos Begila Arosh. Rav Huna Brei Yishuv never walked. It wasn't, in other words, Marsha's pointing out, this wasn't a Chiddush by the mother of Nachman by Yitzchak suddenly to keep the head covered because it showed Mora Shamayim. And that's how many people do it. But she was especially careful about it, right? She was especially concerned about it because she was afraid, you know, of this prediction from this fortune teller that it was going to be a ganav. That's why she was especially concerned about it and so on. So that's what Marsha says. You know, she, or he says even further, maybe she put on, aside from his regular yarmulke, he had a bigger hat on also, some kind of a bigger head covering. So he had two head coverings on, you know, so he would have a, you know, more awareness of this. And so sometimes we wear a yarmulke, we forgot we're wearing it, right? So she had something besides it. Everyone else wears just one covering. She wore two coverings. That's a question what exactly the chiddush of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's mother was. But in any event, you see from all these gemaras, the Gemara brachas, again, we started with the psukim by the kohanim, how to wear a special hat, the mitznefes of the kohen gadol, the mikbas of the regular kohen, whatever shape they were. But here we see gemaras about people covering their head. And the gemara says, again, let's look at 19, lamed aleph and aleph and kiddush, amr shu and levi, asu la'adam shi'alach arba amas b'komo zekufa. That means you're not supposed to walk with an outstretched head, standing like this, you know, like in a haughty, conceited kind of way. Now, koma zekufa means you stand up and like, you know, when you enter the room, everyone's supposed to bow down or salute or something. That's called koma zekufa. It doesn't mean you have to walk over hunched over, but it means, you know, you're not supposed to walk in a haughty and conceited manner. And that, because it says Meloch Haaretz Kvodo, right? That's the pasuk Yishayim from Kedusha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel. Because Zal Zemar, Kadosh, 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 Shem Tzvakos, Meloch Haaretz Kvodo. Okay, and as the Rashi explains, there in Kedush Lamed Aleph and Aleph in 21. Below Chorot Mashma Mishatirav Yored Lamata Azokev Kamos Anir Kedochik. When you're standing so tall, it's like you're pushing on Kodesh Baruch Hu out of the way, like you're sticking your head up, pushing him out of the way. Fine, that's not our issue now. Our issue is the second part of 19. Rabbi Huna Bar Yehoshua never wanted to walk Arba Amas Begila Rosh. Amar, look at the last words of 19. Shechina Lamala Miroshi, because the Shechina is above my head. That's what some want to say. The word Yarmulke, we don't know exactly the origin of the word Yarmulke, but some say it's Yirei Malka. Probably that's not the origin, but okay, Yirei Malka means fear of a king. Okay. Marshaw there in Kiddushin, Lamed Aleph and Beis, really 22 and 23, the same source. Okay. He says, Lezeh Nismach, Mamre, this is the Marshaw in Kiddushin. You might also call it. It starts on Lamed Aleph and Aleph, but the part that we want is on Lamed Aleph and Beis. I'm sorry, it starts on. I made a mistake. Okay, it's the next page. Whatever. The point is, Ulezen Nismach Mamar Rabbi Shimon Levi also La Adam Shalach Arba Amos and so on. Arba Amos is the you know the person's space and so on. So you can't walk in Kamas Kufa. You can't walk with a bare head. One other story the Gemara tells in one of the so-called minor Mesichtas Kanos. These are not Gemaras and they're not Mishnayos. They're printed usually in the end of Seder Nezikin in the regular full Shas. You have a bunch of called Mesichtas Kanos, minor tractates, such as Masechet, well, Avos of Nosan and Apik Avos there also, but that's Mishnayos. But Avos of Nosan and Masechet Smochos and also Masechet Kala Rabosi. So the Kala Rabosi, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, 24. Tells a story. Pam Achas, there was a king in the ocean. So rabbis were sitting, and over his name, Shnei Tinokos, two little kids, a young boys. Tinokos doesn't mean babies; it means kids, right? Walked by. Echad Gilas Rosher, Echad Kisas Rosher. One made sure to keep his head covered; the other one, his head was uncovered. And Zesh Gilas Rosher, Beleza Omer, he must be a mamzer. Yusha must be a ben anida. Right? His parents had a relation when the wife was anida, and weren't allowed. Kiva Omer is mamzer el ben anida. Both. Okay, and then Gemara figures out, Akiva looked into the matter and turned out he was right. Okay, again, we don't know the details, but bottom line is that Beged, you know, that sometimes Beged, what do we say, Shakespeare said, right? You're off the clothes, proclaim the man. So sometimes you can tell about somebody based on the clothing that he wear. Just as a side point, the term sudra, which means a kerchief, a sudar, the handkerchief, you know, but a sudra can mean a head covering as well, a bandana or something like that. So the Gemara has a play on words. Shabbos, Ayin, Zion, Amud Beis, 25, sudra, from the phrase, Sod Hashem Lirayim. Hashem reveals himself to the God, that's a sudra, okay? Sod Hashem Lirayim. And that's what the Marshal says, exactly that point, in the Kedusha HaGodes, to Shabbos, Ayin, Zion, Amud Beis, Sudra, Soda Shamraya, Big Day Adam Ramza Mami Dosh Adam. A person's clothes can sometimes tell you something about his midos and so on. So that's what's going on over here. Okay. So but it does not sound from any of these sources like there's an absolute obligation, and certainly don't we didn't see any isser to say a bracha or to do anything, say the Shem Hashem and to daven without. It seems proper. It seemed that it was commonplace. Many people were careful about it. It sounds like it's a good idea to keep your head covered because you're reminded of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu above you and so on, all the things we saw. But we did not really see yet a specific requirement to have your head covered. Other than, again, it's a good idea, but it doesn't seem to be a requirement. It certainly does not seem to be any prohibition to do anything with your head uncovered. But yeah, I don't hear. I'm sorry. You're muted. Yeah. Yeah.
Yoshua Ben Levi says clearly in the reference 19 says, Asur la'adam le'sheilech arba amot bekumas kufa.
Right.
They bring the amot gilui rosh.
Right. But then he says, lo maski, I wouldn't do it. I don't let it. But again, as we'll have to see, is that a halacha? Is that a midas chassidus? We're going to see. We shall see. We shall see. Okay. But there is certainly certain places where one, it seems, must have your head covered. One is, we go back where we started with, is in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. We saw that the Kohanim had to have something on their head. That's part of the Big Day Kohuna. So there's no doubt that at least the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash and Kohen Gadol had to have something on their head. There's an interesting Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chof Ham and Aleph. Okay, it's talking there about the fact that you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Kohanim, not every Kohen was needed in the Beis HaMikdash every day, especially as the Kohanim population grew. So not every Kohen was always needed in the Beis HaMikdash. So they had The Gemara explains elsewhere, they divided the Kohanim into 24 different family units, and they had shifts and so on. You know, they would come to the Beis HaMikdash a couple of times, a couple of weeks out of the year, et cetera, et cetera. Except Yontif time. Yontif time, you need everybody there because all the Jews were there. But you had shifts of Kohanim. So the, but then there were certain avodas, certain tasks that had to be done in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So how'd they pick which Kohen did what? So the Messiahs and the Gemara's in Yuma, you may remember, they would have like, they would draw lots. They would have some type of system, you know, like when we were kids, we used to choose it out, right? Once, twice, three, shoot, you know, put two, five. There are different ways of figuring out, of casting lots, so to speak.
There's something with counting fingers?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to get to right now. So, So the Gemara there says as follows. Yuma Chaf Hayman Aleph, 27. The Tanya. Lishkas Hagozis Kemin Basiliki Gadula Haizu. There was a chamber in the base, I think it was called the Lishkas Hagozis. That's where the Sanhedrin's offices were. And that chamber was partly on the compound of the base, I think, and partly not. It was built right on the border. Anyway, so it says Kemin Basiliki, like a basilica, you know, it was built like that. And Pius B'Mizracha, the casting of the lots that the Mishnah has described, how they did this whole system to figure out who did which avoda. So that was done in the east, and Zokain, the non-Kohen, the Zokain from the Sanhedrin, wasn't a Kohen, sit on the western side. Okay. Anyway, they would stand up in a circle and so on. Baha Mimuna in the second line of 27, the Mimuna, the guy in charge of this operation, and Rashi explained, they would come, the Mimuna, that's, you know, I don't know what you call him, the MC, you know, the guy in charge of the operations, you know, the guy in charge of the operations would come, and he would take the hat, the mitznefes, off of one of the Kohanim. You know, we called it Mikbas before, but Rashi and Rambam said it's interchangeable. They would take the hat off, and they know that the count began with him. Okay? So again, take a look in Rashi, in Yom Chof Hei Amud Aleph. Rashi refers you back to the beginning of the parak, where it says as follows: Mishnah on Chav Beis and Aleph 29. Hamemuna Omer Lahem Hatzmiu Mahin Motzin Achas Ushtaim. Like how we just said, when the guy said, "Say stick out your hand," it would stick out a finger or two fingers. So Rashi there on Chav Beis and Aleph, that's who he's referring to here. Rashi here on Rashi on Chav Beis and Aleph says Diva Maschatz Bio, he spells out the whole process. Hotziu etzbosechem. The guy would give the command, the director, the MC would say, you know, stick out your fingers. Kol echad yir etzbo. Everyone would show his fingers, okay, and it would stand in a circle. Bo hamemuna venoto mitznefes marosha echemen. At random, he would take the mitznefes off the head of one of them. Umimenu pious maschilinos, and start counting from that guy, who's that coin whose mitznefes was taken off. And the moon had said, wherever the count ends up, okay, that's who wins this particular, that's who's Zoche to do this avoda. Umotzi mipiv, says Rashi, minyan, o mea o shishim. Okay, he would pick a number, let's say, a random number, excuse me one second. You pick a random number, which was far higher than the number of Kohanim present. In other words, how many Kohanim there were, he would pick a number that was far higher than that. And he would basically start counting. Let's say he picked the number as 100, whatever random number he picked. So he start counting. They're in a circle. One, two. They would start with the guy whose mitznefes he took off and start counting around, you know, and wherever the number 100 would end up, that would be the guy who was chosen for this next test. That's how it worked. But kind of bottom line, as I said, he took the hat off one of those guys. Okay. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, source 32, okay, we'll see the pasuk in a moment, but the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Hey, pasuk Tezvav, Asher Yachtov Nam Tisog, Beveis Elokim Nalech Barogesh. One way or another, the Gemara learns from there that the entire pious process had to happen in the compound of the Beis HaMikdash. You couldn't do it outside. However, they learn it out, not our problem right now, okay? But that's why the Gemara proves that the Lishkas Hagozis, where this chamber was obviously at least partly in the Beis HaMikdash because they couldn't do the pious anywhere else. Right, as Rashi says there in Yom HaChof Hem on Aleph 33, the Habina Beis HaKim Nechol, Beis HaKim Alech Baragash, Alma, pious Tzorek Lios Beis HaKim. Okay, fine. The pious had to be done there. So he did it in the Lishkas HaGozis, that chamber, which was partly in the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosus Es HaKasha, Tema. Tosus Dibamasu Vahabi Inam, there in Yom HaChof Hem on Aleph 34. Tema. Kaver the Be'in Pious Bekodesh, Amayla Mephaisim Bazora Atzma. So what do they have to have the pious, this process of counting and figuring out which coin does which avoda? Why do they have to do that in that chamber? Do it in the Azor, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. What do they have to, all the Kohanim had to parade into this other room. They're out in the Azor. That's where the work's going to be done anyway. That's where the avoda's going to be done, in the courtyard. So do the pious right there, right? And that's more Mekudesh. It's a more holy place, right? The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Kaven the notel mitznafos mitznafto shall echad mehen genai hayalamen below mitznefes bazora. Because since part of the process we just saw was the coin took the mitznefes off the heads of one of the Kohanim, and that's where we started that circle, that count from. So it's a little embarrassed. The guy's going to be in the Beis HaMikdash without a hat on, without his head covered. It's a genai. So therefore, they did it in this chamber where it wasn't the same situation. That's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. One of the other Balei Tosef, Yitzchak Bar Baruch, answers, Mishum David Kaime Kibuchlir, they were in a circle, and therefore some of them would have had their back to the Heichal, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if they stand in a circle. So that's why they didn't do it over there. They did it in the room instead. But the warranted right now is Rabbeinu Tam, okay, who says, now, so that seems to indicate that at least within the compound of the Beis HaMikdash, it was Gnai. It was considered inappropriate. It was considered degrading to stand in the compound of the Beis HaMikdash without a head covering. Even though this coin was doing this, was part of the process, but still, it's not proper to stand in the Beis HaMikdash. At least there, we find an idea of having our head covered. Okay. Interestingly enough, the question is, how did he do it altogether? You know what? So the Prima Godim has a comment, in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Beis of Aruch Chaim. Right at the beginning, Simon Beis, Sivav, okay, 35, and this is what was just said before about that statement of Shubin Levi. So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that way. It says, look in Sivav of Simon Beis in Aruch Chaim 35, Velo Yelech Dalat Amos Begila Arosh. It says, don't walk even four paces Begila with an uncovered head. However, the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham adds, you know, however, the Magen Avraham adds, the Cotton Vav, Umidas Chasidus Afilo Pachos Dalat Amos. Shouldn't go even one armor, shouldn't go at any pace without it. So that's what it says. Okay, so the question is, how did the coin, even in the Lishkas HaGozis, was it right for him to be without a head covering? So the Prima Godin proposes, in the Eishal Avram, he proposes that maybe the coin had under the mitznefes, had a different thing, like one of our yarmulkes. Right? Dilma, not the mitznefes, but Dayan Lovush Kova Ktana Kemosha Anu. Maybe had a smaller yarmulke underneath. Okay, then we have the question. So, so what was the issue with not doing it in the Azara proper? If it was had a covering on anyway. So this rejects Rabbeinu Tam, and the other Balatos would be some works for totally different reasons. So no one should have their back to the Azara, but to the Heichal. But anyway, be that as it may, you see from the Pugadon that maybe they had some kind of a smaller yarmulke on. Now, full disclosure, the whole question doesn't get off the ground, either according to the Rambam or the Meiri. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tmidin Musaf and Perak Dal Alach Aleph, and the Meiri is there on that Gemara New Machav Beis and Aleph, Diva Masu Me'ato, 38-39. The Rambam writes, you tell call avodos, they would have a pious to cast lots and so on. Kaita, here's what they do. Call Kohana about the avos yom. The Kohana for that was that day. His family shift was that day. We're going to Lishkas Hagazis and so on. Umulubashim heim the big day kohuna. They were wearing the big day kohuna. Bahamamuna, Shala Paisos, the chief who was in charge of the chief operating officer here in the Beis HaMikdash. They would come in and they would stand in a circle. Bahamamuna, noto mitznefes marosh achram mehenu machziro. Umachzira, he only took the hat off for 1 second to know we're going to start counting with him. Then he put it right back on. So the whole question, according to Rama, the whole issue doesn't get off the ground. He wasn't, not uncovered at all. He took it for 1 second, took it off for a moment just to indicate we started with this guy, put it right back on. So that's, the Miri also writes like that. In that 39, Hamamuna, no Tomit Seven, Maro Shachar, Umachzira puts it right back on. Okay, again, not everyone agrees with that. Okay, there's a Sugi and Tomid. Mishnah Tomid starts on Chaf Heim and Beis, goes over to Chaf Avon Aleph. The Mishnah Hamamuna again talks about, it says, Misha Tova, whoever's going to the mikveh, because you had to go to the mikveh before you could work in the Beis HaMikdash, whoever's going to the mikveh should come in and now participate in this lottery. And Rashi explains, Vazara EF Shalafayas. They couldn't do the pious in the Azara proper because someone would be standing without a head covering. Right, which again, that's against the Rama and the Meiri, and against the Prima Godin that had something else underneath. Unless you want to argue with but it's still Gnai because it's not part of the Big Day Kahuna. Because maybe the Prima Godin's right that another yarmulke that took care of not standing bareheaded, but it's still Gnai because, you're not wearing the, Mitznefes. But the Ravid also, the Ravid there in the Maseches Tamid, we have the parish of the Ravid on the page. So there in Tamid, Chav Chesman Alev, Misha Tavel, and so on. So he says, he quotes that Rabbeinu Tam, and whatever. So, based on Beis Lachim Nach Barogesh. Anyway, he also agrees that that wasn't proper. Bottom line, what comes out from all of this, however they worked it out, clearly you're not supposed to stand in the Beis HaMikdash without a hat and a head covering on. That's clear. However you want to work out the sugyas, but it's clear that it's considered a gnai. It's improper to stand in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash without some kind of a covering on. Based on this, the Leket Yosher on the Talmid of the Rav Shmuel Sadeshin 43, the Leket Yosher, Chelek Aleph, page Lamed Aleph, Inyan Beis, quotes this mission in Talmid, and he says at the end, look at the end, he says, "V'Amar Gon Tzal Mikan Mashma." Shein lamod begila rosh bebeis haknesses either. Same thing in a shul, even not during davening time. Same thing in the kedusha of a shul. It's not proper to be in a shul without a yarmulke or head covering on either. Okay, because our shuls are considered beis hamikdash me'at, as he says at the end there, 43, and that's a reference to the pasuk Yecheskel, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Tazayin, talking about when the Jews in Golus, which Yecheskel himself was, he was in Babel. He says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu promised, even though he scattered us, but va'ehi lahem lemikdash ma'at baratzos se shabo sham. I will be like the mikdash ma'at, a miniature beis hamikdash." The Gemara Megillah, Chav Tesvan Av Darshins, 45, "Ehi lahem mikdash ma'at Amar Yitzchak, elu batei kneisias ubatei midrashos shebe Babel." All the Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashas, doesn't mean only in Babel, it means in the exile, have a miniature status in the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. Also, it's a fraud like that. Posting Barashim B'chukosai and Be'ikur Perkova, Posting Laman Aleph, speaks about Vashimosi's Mikdash Shechem, so there's a drush in the Sifra. The Taurus Khan and the Sifra and B'chukosai, Parsha Be'ez, Perkova's Dalit, it's 47, right? Mikdash, Mikdash Shechem, Lerabos, Bate Knesios, and Bate Midrashas. So we see, says the Leket Yosher, that our shuls also have a miniature status in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore the Leket Yosher concluded, probably the name is Rebbe, the Shmuel Sadeshin. It's also not proper, just like we learned, you don't go into the Beis HaMikdash without your head covered. The same thing is true about a shul, and that's how the Kolbo writes also in Simon Yud Aleph from 48, because of Harav Meir, Nun Ayin stands for Nishmaso Eden, it's like Zatzal, may his soul rest in Gan Eden, right? Also Leilach Begili Rosh, the Kolbo said that Gemara, we see on you referred to before. Okay, that Gemara, Shimon Levi says the Kolbo, that's a Midas Chasidus. It's a nice thing. It's a proper thing. It's not a halacha. It's a proper thing to do. But here, that Gemara talking in general that a person shouldn't go Dalet Amos with an uncovered head, that's a Midas Chasidus. I'm not degrading it, it's important, but it's not an absolute requirement. But says the Kolbo, but in the base HaKnesses, modeled after the base HaMikdash, then it's Taka real din. And he writes, look at the end of 48, Sheish Limchos, we should stop people, tell people it's not right to come into shul. And again, even when you're not davening, that's how the Shulchan Aruch rules in Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, or Chaim Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, Siv Vav. You're allowed to come into a shul carrying certain items which you wouldn't be allowed to carry in the Beis HaMikdash, your backpacks and boots and other things like that. But the Eish Osim Likonis Bo Besakin Oroch, with a weapon, a long knife, O Barosh Magula. Some say not allowed to go in Barosh Magula. That's how the Levush also writes in that same Simon Kuf Nun Aleph Sivov in 50. Okay. He says you can, because people in those days would have backpacks or briefcases even when they stood before a noble person. Avo Barosh Magula on the second line 50. Lo Yikanes, even if that's not the custom in your land, that people would appear before a dignitary with an uncovered head, which today is certainly the case, right? I think at one time people always wore hats and some kept their head covered, even non-Jews, okay, would keep their heads covered. But certainly when you met somebody important, you know, and then you, as an honor, you took it off for a moment. But be that as it may, that was then. Okay, now nobody, you know, you don't go anywhere. You go even to the most important state dinner or whatever. They don't have a head covering on, but says the Levush, it doesn't matter. Look what he writes in the second line of 50. Shezehu derech kalos rosh ma'od. Ke'ilu ein lo mora hashkina sholom. I don't care what the common practice is in the land, says the Levush. It's considered disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're in his place, when you're in shul, you certainly should not go into shul without some kind of a covering on your head.
Supposedly, I didn't verify it, that the Rav Kook, in the early years of Medinat Israel, had a question with Baal Tshuva, and he allowed him to go, since he was like a salesman, to go without the kippah, as long as he has a tzitzit on.
Okay, well, look, tzitzit.
And Shazar, and the president of Israel, Zalman Shazar, he was a Chabad, yes, a real Chabad. He hardly went with the kippah.
Right, okay, so we'll see. Well, again, but we're talking here by going to shul. Okay, what we're talking right now is in the presence of shul. Otherwise, it's a midas chassidus, and not everybody's required. That's what we're saying here. Not everybody's required to observe every midas chassidus. There are different reasons why some people don't. You have a good reason. But in shul, we're talking about in shul. And the Bir Halacha also, the Mishnah Berurah Kuf Nun Aleph from 51, the Bir Halacha Oberosh Megula, Afilu b'makom shenogin leches kein lifnei asarim, even if you appear before dignitaries without a head covering, but not in shul, and he writes, ki ilu ein olav moroshkin, it's not proper to be a begili rosh, at least in shul. Now, what about saying a bracha or saying another name of Hashem? What if I'm not in shul? I'm home, whatever, certainly in shul. But let's say, what about I'm saying a bracha or davening or something? So there is another one of the Masechtas Ketanos is called Masechtas Sofrim. So Masechtas Sofrim, again, these are not Gemaras, they're not Mishnayos, but it doesn't mean they're not authoritative. Right, so some of them we pass like, some we don't pass like. But in Masechtas Sofrim, it says the following in Perek Yud Dalar Alokha Tezvav 52. Pocheach, that's the person who's clothes are tattered, different things. Anybody who and his legs are exposed, or wearing shorts or something like that, or other ripped clothes. O misha rosho megula, or somebody whose head is uncovered. Poreis es shema. Poreis es shema for our purpose now means can lead the tzibur in baruchu before shema, right? To say baruchu. Okay, so apparently even berosho megula, even with an uncovered head, you're allowed to say baruchu and kriya shema. Okay. However, there's a second opinion. V'yesh omrim, yeah, that's true if the garments are torn in something. Aval berosha megula eino rishay lahotzi azkarmi pib. The second opinion disagrees and says, no, if your head is uncovered, you're not allowed, azkar means mention the name of Hashem. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name without you know, having your head covered. So we have two opinions. Now, in terms of the Rishonim, the Or Zeruah in 53, Chelek Beisim and Mem Gimel happened on Shabbos. He says, "V'nira be'enai." He's talking about a cotton, but he says, "Nira be'enai." The tzarich lizar shalik for cotton brosh megula. A kid shouldn't read from the Torah and with uncovered head and so on and so forth. It's not right. And he quotes this Masechah Sofrim, and he says because there is a Yesh Omer that says you're not allowed to do it. And he writes in the third line that he thinks mista nakat pikech lemute cottonim kein lemak. Why he mentions cotton, not a gadol? But look at the end, the third, second last line after the three dots. Pilchach near be'enai. The ein yecholam likros cotton b'tar b'rosh meguva kol shekin gadol. Neither a minor nor an adult should read psukim from the Torah and so on, say the Shem Hashem with an uncovered head. And look what he writes. It's interesting what he writes is that such a thing existed. I don't like the practice I heard that the Rabbanim in Tzarfas. See that? They made brachas with an uncovered head. We'd never hear such a thing today. But that's what the Or Zeruah quotes from Rabbanim Tzarfas. I don't like it. He's against it. Okay? And he says on Simchas Torah, they call little kids up to aliyahs and so on, and they to do it without having the head covered. I don't think it's right. He says, I don't understand how to justify this minig, unless, says there was a rule, you're pasking like that first opinion back in the Masechah Sofer in 52 that says you're allowed to. So apparently these Rabboni Tzarfas, these rabbis in France, pasking like the first. Or Zeruah doesn't like it. But apparently that's what they did. There are people who said brachas without a head covering, something we wouldn't think of even at all today. On the other hand, apparently it wasn't everybody in France because the Sefer HaManhig, also from the Rishonim 54, Hilchos Suda, Oped Reish Chaf Aleph, Od Hayom Minag Tzarfas Bishah, he's talking about making a brach on food, Bishas Bracha, Leos HaMevarach Misatef Biksusa Ono Sen Kova Barosho. That was also Tzarfas. Okay, I guess there were different parts of France with that different minhagim. But not everyone in France followed that lenient view that the Or Zeruah objects to. The Mani quotes a different pshat, or a different minig, rather. Rabbeinu Yerucham, one of the Talmidim of the Rosh, he told us on Rechav Nasif Tezayin Chelek Zayin, 55. He says, talking about washing until the time, he said you have to hold the cup like this, whatever he says, and he writes in the second line, Sheno Sein Suda Arosho She Osur Levarech Begila Arosh. He said it's usur to make a bracha with an uncovered head. So that's certainly an opinion that existed. Okay, and that seemed to be the more prevalent opinion of Beis Yosef in Siman Tzadi Aleph Orach Chaim in the Siv Gimel 56. He quotes that Kolba that we saw, and he quotes Rabbi Yerucham based on that Masechta Sofrim. Bottom line, he seems to say that it's not proper to make a bracha. He said maybe there's a machlokas about it, but he says at the end, he says, Kevan the Rabbeinu Yerucham Pasuk Kaman Amar Osir Hachinaktinon. Beis Yosef said, yeah, I understand there's a machlokas about it, but he says, we paskin, or I paskin like the Rabbeinu Yerucham, that is Osir to make a bracha without your head covered. So now we've seen in Shul, and the Beis HaMikdash in Shul, and when making a bracha. Indeed, it looks like that from the Rambam too, because the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah Perek Hey Halacha Aleph says in 57, Shmona Dvarim Tzarchem Ispalal Yizor, but there are eight things that a person has to be careful about, when it comes to daven, and one of them is what's called Tikkun HaMalbushim, your clothes should be in order. What does that mean? Halacha explains, you should not stand with a Rosh Magula, with your head uncovered, okay? Now, what does it say in the Shulchan Aruch? So look in Siman Tzadi Aleph, Siv Gimel Aruch, 58. Yesh Omrim She'osur Lahotzi Azkar Mipiv Barosh Megula. There are some who say like that, okay? And V'yesh Omrim She'esh Limcho Sholikonis V'esakneset Begili Rosh. So it's interesting, Mechaber quotes them both as a Yesh Omrim. Now, but one second, how do we say that? Didn't we say back in Source 35, okay, in Siman Beis, Sivvav, look back at 35, says, Velo Yelech Dalat Amos Begili Arosh. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, the same Mechaber, wrote, now to go Dalat Amos with an uncovered head. So what's he saying over here? Yesh Omer Ne, Yesh Omer Nat. What do you mean? Not just in Shul, not just when making a bracha. You're not supposed to go anytime. So the Mogan Avram explains in 59, here in Sadi Alef, Sikot Gimel, Masha Kosav Besiv Beis, Velo Yelech Dalat Amos Begili Arosh. Haino, Midas Chasidus. Right, that was all over there. It wasn't talking about an absolute requirement. That's a midas chasidus, a nice idea, a pious thing to do, but it's not required. I mean, Shabur also has that in Bir Halacha and in Sadi Alex of Gimel. Gimel Masri Yish Omer 60 says, Masha Kosov Le'el Simon Beis. That's only a midas chasidus. And some say even less than Dalat Amos, but it's all a midas chasidus. Even Dalat Amos made him a midas chasidus. So, and the truth is, the Mishnah Berurah himself says that over there in Simon Beis. Look at Sivkot and Yidalev. He says, 61, even less than Dalat Amos, you shouldn't go without anything on. He said, even if you're sleeping, maybe, okay. But then he says, and maybe at one time, nowadays, Bismanenu Isur Gomer Medina Lius Begili Rosh, Afili Yoshe Bebeso. All right, now we don't, even at home, we should have it because of Amos of the Shechina. But in terms of an absolute din, okay, that's only, that's only in certain times. And among those times, he writes in Kotin Yud Beis, Kosher Ken Sh'oso Levorech, to make a bracha, that for sure you can't. To boy Lilmod, or to learn Torah, that you know how to do, Begile Harosh. Okay? The Orcha Shulchan also, Tzif Hei of Simen Tzari, Aleph 62, Miu Begile Harosh, Mevur Lehed Yud Rav, the Eino Tolib Meneg HaMakom. That doesn't matter how you would appear before a dignitary. It doesn't matter. That's for sure you're not allowed to. Okay? Simen Beis, that was Midas Chasidus. Here, it's Meikar Adin. However, having said all of this, makes it seem pretty clear that you can't make a bracha. You can't be in a Beis HaMikdash, you can't be in Shul, you can't make a bracha without a yarmulke or some kind of head covering on. But believe it or not, not everybody runs to agree with that. The Vilna Gaon, the Bir HaGro, there in Aruch Chaim Siman Ches in Siv Beis, he quotes that Maseches Sofrim, and he's not so sure that we paskin like the second opinion that it's usher to say it without a Begila Rosh. Okay, maybe it was passed in the first way. And he brings an interesting raya from the Gemara in Brachas, Samach and Beis, that we mentioned before. That was the first Gemara that we saw. Where was it? Back in Source 10. Okay, that was the Gemara we saw that in the morning when you put your head covering on, you say the Bracha of Otei Sobisifara. Here at 64, I printed more of the Gemara. We don't have to see the whole thing. But the Gemara explains. When you wake up, you say, Elokai Neshama. It doesn't mention Modani, but he says, Elokai Neshama, you say. And then when you hear the chicken, you say, Nosan Asech Vivina. And then when you open your eyes, you say, Pokeh Ivrim. And when you do this, you say that bracha and so on. And later, towards the end, after a whole bunch of brachas, look what it says, the last line of 64. Samach Mabez. Kiporis Sudra Reshe Leme Baruch Otei Sobisifara. Just says the Gaon, he doesn't say it, but he seems to be implying, wait a second. That's towards the end. When you put a head covering on, you make the bracha of Otei Sobisifara. Mashma, that all these brachas that we said till now were without something in your head because you didn't put it on yet. You hear, like you mentioned about Modani, right? And that's by the Rosh in Perek Tes of Bracha Simchav Gimel. Says like this also, right? Now, our practice, he mentioned at the end that we all say all the brachas together anyway, later on. And sure, we say all the brachas of Shaka together. But the original practice, okay? And he says, Ote Yisrael, sounds like they made all the other brachas up until Otei Sobi Sifara without a head covering. Unless you want to say like the Prima Gadam, they had a smaller head covering on. So it's just an interesting point. And even from the Rambam, it looks like that. In the Chatzilah Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says when you wake up, when you wake up, you should say this. Modani is a later institution. We'll have to talk about that a different time. But he said, Elokai Neshama, because Baruch Hu gave you Neshama back, which is what we say in Modani also. Shechazar to be Neshmosi, so the Baruch Hu Elokai Neshama. And Elokai Dalad, when you hear the chicken and so on. And then when you put your head covering on, you say, Otei Soba Sifara. But that implies that the previous Baruch Hu, you would say without a head covering on. Okay? And now the Rambam says later in Hilchos Tefillah, in Perek Zayin, okay, he says these 18 brachas that we say because of Shachar, it used to be they always did it when you were up to that activity and putting a head cover is not till later. So therefore, it's just one can make a case that there's no absolute requirement even when saying a bracha. Now, the Trumas HaDeshen, Simon Yud, was asked the following question. He was asked about head covering. He was talking about a certain type of straw hat, whether that's called the head covering, because there's a lot of airspace. That's called the head covering. So I'm not answering that question now, okay? But he writes, Aval Iser Gila Rosh Tehocha Mishum Kalas Rosh Kapi Shmaya, the Midka Shemokom Baruchu Shaloba Aim of Yerba, Ain Lachalek Bain Bias Lusharabim, the Melocha Arts Kodo. Shmuel HaDeshen says in general, he seems to say you should have a covering on your head, okay? And certainly when it comes to saying a brocha and so on, that's how Shmuel HaDeshen seems to paskin here in Simon Yud. Interesting enough, full disclosure, in 69, in another collection of his tshuvas, Psakim Uksavim Simon Reish Gimel, look what he writes here on the second line of 69. The case was, the first line, Shechid Shal Shetan of Brislav, I don't know if the Brislav, I don't know where it is exactly, but the government made a rule that the Jews, when they swore, they had to swear in the name of their God and they had to take off their hat. It used to be in a courtroom in America, also you had to take your hat off. Okay, that when you came up to the witness stand and so on. So they tell you to take off your hat. So over here, they made a rule, but then the Jew had to swear, so what's he supposed to do? So the Trumas HaDeshen, their rights in 69, the second line, I don't see clearly punched out anywhere that you must have your head. You know, it's interesting. Maybe he's saying that here just to justify the practice to give the Jews a break, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not so crystal clear. Look at the last words of that Trumas HaDeshen in 69, in the Psakim Ksavim Simon Reish Gimel. Begila harosh lo ashkechon kpeita lehed l'iser. There's no absolute kpeita. And none other than the Maharshal in the Tshuvan Simon Ayin Beis in his Tshuvas. Okay, a guy who was asked, he was uncomfortable to keep on his head, so he have to keep his head covered. And he says, look what he says in 70. Again, we wouldn't imagine this today, but he writes in the second line, Ein ani odea Isser levarach below kisi rosh. I don't know of any outright isser to make a brocha without your head covered. Okay, and he quotes the Trumas HaDeshen from Simon Yud, who seems to say that there is such an isser, but I'm not so clear about it. Okay, and he quotes that Maseches Sofrim. There's two opinions and so on, but on about five lines down after the three dots in 70, Uma eser pahor leiser. What can I do? The Jewish community, you know, considers it a big isser to say a brocha without. What am I doing? I can't fight City Hall. You know, I don't find a real source for it, but I can't really fight. I think it's only Midas Chassidus. But what can you do? And then he laments the fact that if you remember back in that Gemara in Kiddushin, which was quoted before, okay, the Gemara in Kiddushin on Lamed Aleph Mid Aleph 19 said two things. You're not allowed to walk with a haughty countenance, a haughty appearance, and you're not allowed to go with Begili Rosh. Okay, so the Marshal writes, you know, people are very careful about the second half of the statement. They're not careful about the first half of the statement. Plenty of people walk around with Gaiva and consider that somehow he said it's heads and tails of the same statement in the Gemara. And he says somehow people are very mocked. Oh, I can't go even one pace without a yarmulke. What about walking around with Gaiva? That already he says people are not so mocked on. So what can you do? He said, but I can't fight. And again, he says, bottom line, he says, he mentioned the Talmud Chacham might be the different din, but at the end of the day, he says, I can't fight. You know, I don't really consider it to be an absolute issus. So Paskins, the Maharshal, even the Pri-Chodosh, there in Orchaim Sim Tzadi Aleph, the same we looked at before, in Sim Gimel, the Pri-Chodosh writes, Yesh Omrim She'osol Hotzi Azkara, Mistabrot Kemande Matil Hotzi Azkara Barosh Megula. I think the Svora is more correct that you can say Hashem Hashem without a head covering. But, and I found the Maharshal said that, but he concludes, Umiyu Yesh Lahachmer Kedivra Oser. Again, that's the practice, so you should be machmir about it. In terms of an absolute source, I just want to point out the Chacham Tzvi, Lekutei Tshuva Simen Kuf Chav Ches, has a Zohar. Okay, so, you know, for the 72, he quotes a Zohar, the Osul of Baruch HaAsher Hashem B'Gilei Ro. So there is such a mocker for it. Okay, but the question, you know, one other issue, okay, we talked about davening, we talked about Kriya Shema. I just want to point out that Shulchan Aruch mentions this with regards to regular brachas also, like brachas on food. If you look in Aruch Chaim, Simon Reish Vav, Sif Gimel, 73, he writes, Osherosham Megula Osul of Baruch. It's not talking about davening. It's not talking about having a candy bar, having an apple. Okay, so again, we extend this to all types of brachas. A side point, 74, where Moshe and Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelik Beis Simon Chaf Hey asks, what about saying God in English? Saying Hashem Hashem in English. You have to have a Yamakan for that too, right? 74, the high school, saying God the Anglis. Okay, and you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you're saying God, you know, and then you're saying, you know, not some idol or whatever, you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, Nir Shein LaHakbid, you know, he thinks you don't have to be so makbid on that. But now let's come to our question. I've said all this. So we see that Lemaisa, it's not proper to go with an uncovered head, certainly not in the Beis HaMikdash and not in Shul. And according to most, not to make a bracha, and any bracha, not a Kriya Shema, any other type of bracha. Again, if some would disagree, I presented the different opinions. Some were not so insistent upon it, but the more prevalent view, as the Maharshal himself said, I can't fight, you know, everybody's accepted this already. So the question is, if you don't have a yarmulke, is any value to using your hand like this attorney did, the Trump's attorney, you know, with that whole tumult when he drank water at the trial. So, there is a related, and the bottom line is, does covering with your hand count? Well, no, your hand is just another part of the same body, right? What good does that do? Maybe keeping your head covered means with a separate item. It's not part of your body. You know, the hand is as much a part of your body as your head. So what are you really doing, right? So that's really the question. So there is a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Amud Abayz, where the Gemara talks of the following case. A guy had Shem Hashem written on his skin. Wrote a Yud Kevav Kenesian, not even a tattoo. He had it on his skin. Okay? So now we got a problem because you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem on purpose. So he said you shouldn't wash that part of the skin because you're inadvertently or advertently being erasing the name of Hashem. Okay? Therefore, you better be careful. You have the name of Hashem on you. So it's a good idea not to get such, not to write the name of Hashem on your hand. Okay? So, but if you did, you have to be careful. What about Nizdam Nelo Tvil Shomitzah? What if he has to go to the mikveh? In the olden days, Tumat had to go to the mikveh. What do you do then? So the Gemara says, Korech alei gemi v'yor v'tovah. Put some type of a gemi, a bandage or something, put some type of a cloth over it and then go down. Okay? What's the issue? What's the issue? So Rav Bar Rav Shela says, Hainu tamay d'abon d'kasabi osur lamo b'fnei Hashem orum. Because you're not allowed to go and you go into the mikveh, you know, you have the name of Hashem in front of you. Now you're naked, right? Your body, you know, your genitalia showing and so on. The sexual organs, not proper. The name of Hashem, it's improper. So then the Gemara asks, which I left out the whole, that line, but why, I'm sorry, I had it. The end of 75. So cover it with your hand. You go into the mikveh, you have it written over here, or whatever you have written on your shoulder. So put your hand over there and finish. What do you have to take a bandage or some kind of a garment for? So the Gemara answers, Zimn and Demishtali B'Shachar, because you'll forget, your hand will fall off, you'll move it, and it'll end up being a problem. Okay, that's the issue in Shabbos Kuf Chaf Mudbei. So the Chumas Adeshin in Simon Yud, which we were talking about before, says as follows. He says, from that Gemara it would appear, I'm going to say this outside to save a few moments, Chumas Adeshin and Simon Yud, he said, from that Gemara it would appear that really it would be okay to cover the Shem Hashem with your hand. Okay, the only reason it's not okay is because it'll slip off. You'll forget. You'll take it off. Okay, but other than that, it would appear that covering something with your hand counts. In which case, we can make the jump and say the same thing is true about covering with your head. He says that. Okay, he says the fourth line of 77 towards the end. The leading bracha hetik echem regdolim mitshuvas ozur delo mahani. Some say it doesn't help, and that's how he passed himself the Shemot Adeshin. Not to help. And the question is, why not? You got to put something else on, a beged, some type of garment, something else, a yarmulke, something. It can't be just your hand. Well, why not? Okay. And he brings a story of Rabbeinu Tam, when he would be in the bathhouse and he would take a drink. So, assuming he had something in his head, that's not our issue. I miskase be beged keneged libo, because there's a rule, shelo yehei libo roas ha'erva. Your heart should not be directly exposed in direct contact, so to speak, again, with the sexual organs, the erva part of the body. There should be some kind of separation in between. So Rabbeinu Tam would go ahead to cover it, his heart, with, you know, could put a shirt or something over the part of the part or the other part of the body. Either way, put something over it. So therefore, that apparently just covering with a hand is not good enough. All right, that's what it says. Now, so what about over here, says the Chumash Hadash? What about over here? Why does it work over here that he puts his hand over the Shem Hashem? I mean, at the end, the Gemara says it doesn't work because you may remove it. But technically speaking, it would work. So he says, no, this is different, okay? Because over here, what are you covering? You want to cover the Shem Hashem. So your hand, the Shem Hashem is a foreign object, so to speak, vis-a-vis your body. So therefore, that you can cover. But to use your hand to cover your head, same body. Or in the Ben Thompson, to use your hand to cover your heart or to cover the lower part of your body, that's it's the same body. Okay? That's what he says. He says, the Ein Haguf, the body can't serve as a cover for itself, right? By Kisa Shame, that was different. Shayad Ein Obol Achas Haguf, Elachas Shame. It's covering the Shame Hashem, it's not part of the body. That's what he says. And there's a similar discussion in Warren Brachas Chav Beis on Beis, the Mishnah really. He says, if someone's in the water, he has to say Kriya Shema, and if it's time to get out, so get out of the water and say Kriya Shema outside the water. If not, you can say Kriya Shema inside the water. Okay? What do you do about the fact that you have no clothes on? So the Gemara there on Chav Hamid Beis in Brachas 79 says you can, the water itself, so to speak, serves as a, you know, as a hefsek between the upper part of the body and lower part of the body. How can it be? So it's talking about Mayim Achur, talking about water which is, you know, not clean, water which is filmy. So then it serves as an interruption. Now, and that's how the Rif Paskin, Tezan Rebeis and Brochas, the page of the Rif, Yiskasem Mayim.
Interruption of Kisui.
So that's very good. Hold on, that's exactly the question. So it says, Yiskasem Mayim, Ukimna Mayim Achur, about Slul and Low, Mishum de Libo Roas Erba. If the water is crystal clear, then you have Libo Roas Erba. Okay, now Rabbeinu Yonah says on that piece of the Rif in Brachas Tezayin Beis 81, he says, "Omer Rabbanei Tzarfas, Shem Adam Mechabek Gufo Bizrosav." You hug yourself like this, and you wrap your arms around yourself. He said that would work as like a beged, and then it's mutter. And the Beis Yosef, it's an Ayin Dalet, in Gemara 82, quotes that Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says perhaps the difference is like this. Okay. Your body can't serve exactly the point you just mentioned. Your body can't serve as a kisui. One part of the body can't cover the other part of the body. It's the same body. That doesn't count. It's not a kisui. But over here, what are we trying to do? We're trying to make a separation, so to speak, between where your heart is and where the lower part of your body is. Good. So here, just to cover your heart with your hand, that won't work. But if you bunch your arms together like this, it's not a kisui. It's a chatzitza. It's a hefsik. That's what the Beis Yosef says. So that's why that might work. Okay. And the precious, look at the end of 82, the Beis Yosef said, Abel, Ein Haguf Yochel Chaset Atmo, in Hefsik, Efshad the Mafsik. Okay. Hefsik, it would work. The precious also says more or less like that. Okay. Said the preacher there in Osalef in Simon Ayin Dalet, he says that's a possible difference that you bunch your hands and so on. That's how the Shulchan Aruch rules also. Simon Ayin Dalet Siv Gimel in Aruch Haim 84. You hug yourself so through the arms, that's different. That's like a hefsik. Okay, that's like a hefsik. Now, and then Taz discusses that also in Siv Kotten Gimel. He says, well, covering, it's not good enough, but so this kind of thing, a hefsik, it is good. And the Gemara of Rome also says, it's a Cotton Vav 86, it says it very concisely. The Nehi, the Kisu, Lo Mikre, Hafsaka, Miyu Havi. And Shabur says also like that. Okay, but again, and he says some of Machmanatu. But again, what comes out? What comes out is that the Kisui, one part of the body cannot serve as a covering for the other part of the body. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch rules, preferably in Siman Ayin Dalet Siv Beis, that, you know, if you're in the world, the best thing is to come out and cover yourself with a beged. Cover yourself with a beged. But, and there are more, because other than that, your hands don't count as a kisui, right? But your daim lo havi kisui, there are more eds. Hu adin, let's plan that page, our case. Hu adin im mechasa rosh biyadav lo mikri kisa rosh. That's not called kisa rosh. You cover yourself with your own hand, okay? So that's a question. Now, the Taz over there in Siman Ayin Dalet Siv Kotten Beis 89 perhaps makes a distinction. What are you covering for? It may be enough of a covering for some things, not for others. Let's say for a bracha, you know, maybe not. But the idea of the Midas Chasidus, that's just not to go Dalet Amos, maybe for that your hand does work. You hear the chilek? Now, the Taz draws a chilek. We mentioned before, there are different types of things that people cover the head for. Okay, the Midas Chasidus cover it all the time. So for that midas chasidus, maybe your hand works good enough. Okay, but you know, on a temporary basis. But for a bracha, as far as a shame, not. All right. And okay, the Magen Avraham also there in Sivkot and Gimel says that again, the yad, it's called min bimino eno chotzes. Two things of the same min cannot form a chatzitza. That's what Mishnah Berurah also said in Siman Ayin Daled, Sivkot and Tes. Doesn't matter if you cover your heart, you cover the other part of the body, unless you mechabek, unless you create a hefsek, which is a visible, you know, substantive hefsek. Okay? But again, perhaps, but other than that, it's not a hefsek, at least for the purpose of brachas or for the Shem Hashem. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch also paskin this way in Siman Tzadi Aleph Sivdal, we'll move to finish up. He writes, Aval Hanochas Yad al Arosh Lo Chashiva Kisur. That's not considered a covering. Okay? However, he does say, Vim Acher, if another person, I can't cover my head with my own hand, but someone else, an outside person, can. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. But again, full disclosure, the Maharshal, in that same Tshuva Siman Ayin Beis in 93, he says, my opinion is, guy wakes up in the middle of the night, wants to have a midnight snack. He goes down to the fridge. He can't find his yarmulke. It's too dark. He doesn't want to wake up his wife. Right? He wants to have a piece of cake or a glass of juice or something like that. In the middle of the night, he says he has no cover, he has no yarmulke, or he's in to wash his hands, whatever it was. Okay. Mechases rosh biyadav. It's okay. So the marshal is lenient on that. He says you can use your hand to cover yourself. Okay. In that situation. And then he said the case of Benatam is different. Okay. That's liberosa erva. He says for a different reason, because there, nope, people go like this all the time. They fold their arms like this, right? It's not noticeable they're doing it for any reason, but people don't go like this. That's why that attorney Shon caused such a tumult. No one saw that before, right? Most people never saw such a thing. It was obvious once it was explained, he was doing it for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Marshal is lenient and does allow you to cover your head with your hand. The Magen Avraham, Sivkot and Dalet, disagrees. Rashal Matir Venirul Adain Lismachalo. The Marshal is maker, but I think we can't rely on that. I think it's not correct. Okay, and again, the Eliyahu Rabbah says certainly for Shem Hashem and for Dvarim Shebekdusha and so on, you should not rely on it. The Bach in Siman Tzadi Aleph, Sivkot and Heya, and the Bar Hetev in Sivkot and Dalet both say the same thing. The Bar Hetev quotes the Bach. He says that it's not proper to use your hand. It's Kalos Rosh, it's this, it's not right. But, he says, the goof can't cover the goof. But if you have a sleeve, right, you cover it in such a way, you pull your sleeve over like this, like I'm doing here, the sleeve is covered. That's okay, because that's not your hand. Or you pull your sleeve over your hand and do it like that. Now, that's what some say, that Shon had a bottle cap or something. They say, I don't know, all kinds of theories what he was doing. But at the end of the day, that's what the Bach writes. And the Bar Hetev also quotes, because of Bach, miunogel hamshicha beisyad shel abeged, right? The sleeve of the clothes are pulled forward. So that would be okay. The Mishnah Berurah mentions that as well in the Sivkot and Yud.
Arosh, it doesn't matter if you're in the room.
What's that?
If you're in the room. Maybe the ceiling. Yeah,
so I didn't go into that since you raised it. There's some who say that Marshall said the whole thing is only when you tachas avir shamayim and not in the room. So there is such an opinion. I could have quoted and couldn't mention everything. But anyway, the Bar Hetev writes and to cut involved, and we'll finish up. Usur lehazkir Hashem begila rosh, and it doesn't matter with your hands on your head. It doesn't help. It says the Marshall does allow it, but he likes the Bach idea also to pull the sleeve over. Okay, same thing on Taras Zakenim, Sukkot and Beis, also the Haskel Shem Begila Rosh, that's the majority view. Okay, then we got quotes the Marshal, and the Mishnah Berurah also in Siman Beis, Sukkot and Yeralev, Da, the O, the Le'inim, Gila Rosh, Dai, Bekisa, Yad, Al, Rosh, Rodinim, Mafla, Rosh, and Shor, Begila Rosh. If he mentions that Chilik, if it's just Gila Rosh, you know, like for the Chumrah of Dal Ramas, then maybe hand would work, but for a Brocha, not. Lo, Behane, Bekisa, and Sukkot and Yerbeis, Lo, Mahane, Bezek, Kisa, Yad, the Yad, Rosh, Chad, Gufa, Inun, and a goof can't cover itself. But he says, he cites the Marshal enough to have to shasad chak. Okay? Shasad chak. And again, could be when you're defending a case for the President of the United States in the Senate, that's a shasad chak. Not to wear a yarmulke, you know, that would prejudice the case, maybe whatever reason he didn't want to wear a yarmulke in that situation. Maybe that would be a shasad chak. I'm not paskin, I'm just saying. Maybe that would be a shasad chak that you can rely on the lenient view and cover with your hand. Of course, he said it's better, like the Bach said, to pull your sleeve over it. Okay, one last point, and this will finish. We see the same thing by Tachanun. Our Chaim Sim Kuf Lamar Aleph Sif Aleph 102, it says when you fall for Tachanun, so our minig is to fall on the left side. And the Magen Avraham says, in Sivkot and Beis and the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkot and Gimel 103 and 104 both say that you shouldn't fall on a bare on your bare skin, right? And the nafkamina when you're wearing a short sleeve shirt, right? He said you should have some kind of garment, and otherwise you're just falling on your own hand and one part of the body, the same body. Okay, now you can mechalik, but both the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah mentioned that min mino and a chotzeitz, which I don't agree altogether, but many people are careful by tachanun. If you're wearing a short sleeve shirt, they have a talis or they have a cloth or a paper towel or something like that. That's where that comes from. Just end off 105, the Moshe Feinstein, or Chaim Chelik Dimel Dalet Chelik Dalet, or Chaim Chelik Dalet Mem talks about a case where a guy was wearing his yarmulke, wearing his talis over his head, and the talis fell off, and the talis fell off and pulled the yarmulke off with it. Guy didn't realize. So bad enough he's diving out of talus, okay, that's half a problem. He's diving out of yarmulke, okay? He says, Moshka, the third line, Gamas Akisa Daksha Rosh HaKorin Yarmulke, Kippah, right? And so he says, you're in the question where you're allowed to stop in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and look and go get it. For talus, maybe not, but for the yarmulke, you can. Because otherwise, he says, if you ended up diving without a yarmulke, you look at the last line, in Gomar Tfiloso Begila Arosh, it's Tarak Lachso Espalo. Have to daven over again because it's not a proper tefillah. So in any event, our practice today, certainly people try to wear the yarmulke and head covering at all times. But at least we saw that if a person's mom is stuck, there's no other alternative. So, the Mishnah Berurah is mekel, and Mashal is mekel altogether. And some say the whole thing's only midas chasidus anyway. So there are different leniencies about it. But again, whatever this attorney did, he did. But there's certainly room for some sort of leniencies in a case of a shas and chak. But other than that, people should try and keep the head covered at all time. Okay, we'll stop over here. Yeah. Okay.
Saturday night.